I cannot be a failure. Like, this has to be perfect. Like, I have to play to my strengths and play perfect every game. Like, I want to make my coaches, my teams, my parents, the college coaches proud, like all of these different things. And that like fear of disappointment is so real in athletes. Like, it is so prevalent, more than someone on the outside would think.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The D Word. I'm your host, Mia Wilson, and today I will be joined by high school student Abby.
Hi, guys.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy weekend to come chat with me. I'm super excited to just...
Always. This is such a good idea for a podcast, so anytime. So excited.
Well, what I like to do on my show is... rather than me introducing you or hearing it from me, why don't we begin by sharing maybe what year you are in school, what class you're taking, favorite subjects, what you do outside of school, just because who better to introduce yourself than you?
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm Abby. I'm a junior in high school. My favorite class, and that's a good question. I really like my English class right now, AP Language and Composition. It's a lot, but I like it. Outside of school, I'm a competitive volleyball player. I've been playing for going on, how old am I? 17, going on like 9 years now. And that's probably my biggest hobby. And I like to bake. That's probably all to know about me.
Wow. I didn't know you like to bake. That's so interesting. It sounds like you have a lot that keeps you busy.
Yeah, either baking a lemon meringue pie or playing volleyball, you know, either or, catch me out on a Sunday and that's it.
Wow, that's super interesting. So are you, is AP Lang your only AP class or are you taking others?
Yeah, so I also am taking AP US History, which I actually like a lot. I think AP US History has been very interesting so far. And then those are the only two APs I'm taking, I believe, but I plan to take AP Psych next year, which I know a lot of people like and I'm very excited for.
Yes, I'm taking psych this year. It's super cool. I think you'll definitely enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. So how do your two APs compare like in workload with your other classes?
So they're actually very different. Like within each other too, even though they're still APs, like AP US History, the pace is very fast. You know, we have lots of quizzes, lots of tests, lots of notes to take, just a lot to go over because there's so much material that we have to get over. Versus my AP Lang classes, much slower paced. You know, it's more focusing on details and focusing on, you know, personal growth and, you know, making sure you're actually like learning and, you know, really focusing on your personal writing, which is nice because I think I'm, you know, learning a bit more in that class than AP US. But my other classes, it's definitely a bigger workload for sure, but it's nothing that I can't handle. I think the teachers are doing a good job at managing, how much to give us, which is nice.
That's good. And you said you were a competitive volleyball player for 9-10 years.
Yes.
So how do you manage your time with all your classes and also?
Yeah. So that has been, definitely something to tackle in the last few years, especially with high school. You know, because I'm trying to play in college. So that is a whole nother layer of, I'm just focusing on so many different things at once. And it definitely takes time to figure out how to balance it. But the best advice I would give is focusing on prioritizing yourself and making sure you have a schedule, because that's what helps me the most, is making sure I know how I'm allocating my time, how much time everything is taking, and making sure that I'm not spreading myself too thin, because when that happens, you know, things start to kind of slip out of my grasp. So I think that's the best thing that I could say to anyone in like my position.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever feel like you don't have enough time for yourself or downtime?
Yes, 100%. It's funny that you mentioned that. Literally just the past few weeks, I've been like, whoa, like this is, you know, junior year is really gaining on me because it's such a weighty year in terms of college and everything and, you know, and your grades. But I think eventually you just kind of learn, either you learn to live with it, learn to keep up and learn what works for you, or, you know, you figure out what needs to give and what you know, can stay, because obviously there is a line where it's like, yeah, you have to be able to manage everything, but you cannot make yourself go do too much, because otherwise you'll just lose everything. So I think it's finding a balance of sometimes it's okay to not do so well on a test because you need to sleep, you need to prioritize whatever, your health, or sometimes it's okay to miss a practice because you have a big test. Like, you know, there's give and take that I think is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Prioritizing yourself is definitely top. Always got
a priority for sure. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
But just to switch gears a little bit, I'd like to explore kind of some pressures maybe that you might have in your life pertaining to sports and school. Kind of what we talked about. And I was curious about, you know, do you ever feel like there are pressures on you to achieve or do well?
Yeah, absolutely. So because I'm trying to play in college, and Southern California specifically is a hotbed for a volleyball, it is a lot of work to maintain and a lot of work to continually achieve your highest performance every practice, every game, every tournament. So that's something I've worked on a lot with my mental health too, because there's a lot that goes into it where you don't want to worry about, you know, performing and doing your best every single time, because if you're focusing on that too much, you end up not performing your best. You end up stressing about it too much, and it just kind of ruins your whole mindset. So that's something that I know myself and a lot of other athletes grapple with for a long time, because it's, you know, a mental battle between I need to do my best for college athletes, for like college coaches, or for my coach, for my team, and then also I want to do the best for myself. So it's kind of a hard thing to like figure out. But I don't know, it's definitely present and it will never go away, but it just comes with time and it comes with, you know, the patience to, you know, dealing with it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you said you wanted to play in college. So you're in the recruiting process right now.
Yes, I am. I've been in the recruiting process since freshman year, which is something I know that's not super on topic, but I will recommend to any athlete that wants to play in college is start early, because that takes the weight off of you significantly. And I could talk about that for hours. Like, it's a lot. It is a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And how is it going for you now, the whole process?
Yeah, it's going really well. You know, it is coming to a head because obviously as a junior, different colleges have different timelines. So some of my colleges I'm talking to will want to commit by winter of this year, versus some can wait till next senior year, like spring of senior year. So it's definitely gaining on me, but I think it's going well. I'm in a comfortable spot. It's all just about managing what I want, because as much as it is recruiting, I'm being recruited and I have to market myself to colleges, the colleges are marketing themselves to me. Mm-hmm. And that's something that a lot of people forget. A lot of athletes forget. It's like, it's wherever you want to go. Like, don't worry about, you know, marketing yourself so much to a point where it's like, I don't even want to go here, but I have to do it. It's like, you have to prioritize your wants and needs in college because you come first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now that we're on the subject of the process, do you ever find that you're more stressed out about that than maybe your school?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It honestly is like a job at sometimes, because, you know, it's very manufactured, I think is the word I would use, because you have to be able to speak to these coaches and these players in such a formal, you know, strained way. And I definitely have found myself prioritizing that and emailing people and getting film and practicing over school and like sitting for tests and stuff. And it's definitely common, but the thing is, it's ironic that I was prioritizing that over school, when school is going to propel me and my grades is going to propel me to be able to actually play and commit. So I think that's something that I need to frequently remind myself, like, hey, wait, you got to prioritize what's in the now versus not in the future, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you talked about just now saying that you kind of email back and forth with your different colleges and you talk.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit more about what that's like? And
yeah. So in the recruiting process, it's not only just emailing, but it's phone calls, it's in-person meetings, it's going to their games, it's the colleges coming to your games, it's, you know, talking with your club and your recruiter about what to say to certain colleges and certain coaches and stuff. And it's definitely something that you have to master and you have to get used to, because in normal human interaction, you want to be familiar, you want to be, you know, you want to connect with that person, and the connection with a college coach and colleges in general is different. The way you speak to them, the way you interact, the way you do the whole recruiting process is very different than you would expect. So that's another layer of anxiety almost, that you want to make sure, oh, did I word that right in my email? Oh, am I saying the right thing on this phone call? Like, did I sound stupid? Did I say whatever the thing may be? And that is definitely another layer of anxiety that I had to grapple with, but it is manageable. And again, it comes with time, you know, you learn how to speak with them and you learn how to, you know, like manage it and make sure you sound good, but also that you're comfortable with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you ever find that when you're talking with a coach from a college or somewhere that you really want to go, and someone that you don't really have a connection with, how do you get around that?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a learned skill. Like I say, it's almost like speaking to a priest or a teacher that you're super unfamiliar with, or, you know, someone high in the administration at your school, where it's just a lot of respect, a lot of like, this is why I'm a good student, and this is why I'm a good player, and this is why I should be someone that you want to like take to your school, but also not coming off, you know, a little fake, you know, and a little bit too polished. But yeah, it's a hard thing to get used to. That's what I will say. But, you know, you learn how to speak to them in an adult-like manner, but also you're able to connect with them. I don't know. It's a very specific, it's very niche. I don't know. I think, you know, it's hard to master, but you get used to it, I think, is what I will say. You get used to it.
Mm-hmm. And could you elaborate a little bit more on what you mean by you don't want to sound too fake or polished? I feel like that's a big thing for a lot of people in the recruitment process.
Yeah. So it's difficult because there's this big connection that you have to make with this person, this superior to you, that you have to make a connection of, oh, like, I'm relatable and I'm nice and I'm a good person and I'm also a good student and a good athlete. But you can't make it sound too job interview like. You can't make it sound like you know, it's very like cat and mouse, I would say. You know, you have to find a balance of, I'm expressing my personality and this is how I actually am and this is the real me, but also putting your best foot forward and putting your best attributes forward. And I think that's another thing that a lot of I've gotten lost in not too long ago, of like, who am I? Like, am I portraying myself to who I'm, like, who I actually am? Like, I don't know where the line is, you know? And that's something that I think a lot of athletes also struggle with. And, you know, it comes with the fact that you have to present yourself in this really like manicured way. But once you find the line and once you find, okay, this is how I'm presenting myself and I feel comfortable with this, I think it ends up okay.
I really like that. I like that response. That was really, I totally agree. But switching gears once again.
Yeah.
I've heard from a lot of people that sometimes there's days that they and their sports are just not super enthusiastic about it anymore.
Yeah.
It's off days. Do you ever feel that way?
Burnout is so real in competitive and obvious, even non-competitive, but especially in competitive sports, when you are grinding every day to do whatever you're accomplish, whatever your goal is, burnout is so real. And there's comes a point, I think, in every athlete's journey of in their playing years, that's like, do I want to do this anymore? Do I want to push myself and do I want to sacrifice all this time for XYZ, whatever their goal is? And I think that's a big decision to make. And I think it's hard because I know that a lot of athletes continue to do it, even if it's sacrificing their health and their mental, you know, their mental health and their time and everything. And it's not something they truly want. And I think it's something that's not prioritized enough by coaches and by their parents and by everyone, because it just overall, if a player doesn't want to play and if a player is actively unhappy on the court, it ruins the atmosphere. And not, it's not the player's fault, because they obviously they don't want to be a disappointment, but it becomes an issue where the parents are like, well, I've already spent all this money. Like, why are you stopping now? Like, you're so close, or whatever the reason, whatever the pressure from external variables may be. But that's why I advocate to all athletes that really know what you're doing is what you want and commit. And if you don't, if you at all sense that you don't want it, think it through, think it over, sleep on it, like make sure the decision that you're making are ones that you want, because that's how you're going to be happiest. Like, that's how you're going to end up where you want to be.
Yeah. I totally feel like a lot of I've seen, and myself too, have been in the position where it's like you don't really love your sport anymore, mm-hmm. and your parents mm-hmm. are kind of putting pressure on you to keep going because
absolutely
put so much time and effort, and you also have too, into that mm-hmm. sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a hard decision to really make.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that kind of like disappointment of like from parents and yourself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something that is really personal to me, because my athlete profile overall, and I've worked on it to get better at it, because it's something I needed to work on, but is the disappointment of like, I cannot be a failure. Like this has to be perfect. Like I have to play to my strengths and play perfect every game. Like I want to make my coaches, my teams, my parents, the college coaches proud, like all of these different things. And that like fear of disappointment is so real in athletes. Like it is so prevalent, more than someone on the outside would think, because it's like, oh, well, you like your sport, so it's okay. But I think it's something that you need to remind yourself that the player next to you, the girl next to you, is thinking just the same thing, and she doesn't want to disappoint you either. And the coach is thinking, oh, I really want to help these girls. I don't want to disappoint them. I don't want them to look down. I don't want them to feel like I failed them. And I think the sense of failure and disappointment is in everyone. And I think athletes need to be reminded of that, because it's like, you're not alone. Like you can talk to someone about that and have them understand, like, I feel the same way. And it's okay to fail sometimes. It's okay to have, you know, a moment where you're not your best, because that's something that isn't always pushed, I think, in competitive sports that should be, because it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to fail sometimes. And the person next to you, I guarantee you, feels the same way and has been in your position before.
Yeah, it sounds like from what you're saying, the way you cope with it is just reminding yourself that you've got a team and coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You.
Exactly. That's my best advice, is talk to someone that you feel is in the same position as you.
Well, thank you so, so, so much for sharing all of your experiences and observations.
Yeah, of course. I know. I'm so
But before we wrap up here, I mm-hmm. want to do a little lightning round of questions that I ask to all of my guests.
Ooh, okay. Love it. Love questions. Let's go.
It's just four quick questions. You don't have to give
okay.
a long answer. Just whatever comes to mind.
Perfect. Okay.
But to start off, if you had the chance to ask anything of a mental health expert, what would you mm-hmm. want to ask, or what would you want to know?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I would want to know what their best advice for, I'm going to say specifically athletes, what their advice to athletes who are struggling with the pressure to perform is, like general advice to anyone who's struggling with performing at their best.
I really like that. I would want to know that too.
Mm-hmm, right? I know. I need it.
Next is, what activity brings you the greatest amount of joy these days?
Oh, I've been doing this a lot, and I really like going to the beach and just watching the sunset. That's my favorite thing to do recently. I love it. It's my favorite.
Me too. It's something mm-hmm. about the sunset. So just
calming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite way to de-stress?
Oh, okay. So I love to do my most like extra skincare routine, just all the face masks, all the moisturizer, everything. And then I just like to have like clean pajamas and my clean bed and just like watch Netflix and have water, my like little ice water and like whatever else, and just like sit and like be with myself and watch Netflix and be like comfortable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's
just
probably
spending
my
time with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And having that moment to like reflect on the day and like be able to like relax.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, if this was your last conversation ever, how would you want the world to remember you?
Oh my God, I love that question. Wow, that was good. Okay, I would want the world to remember that. I don't know. Oh, that's a hard question. Probably that I know that, or that I am here for everyone and that I can understand the struggles that people go through, and that I want everyone to know that it is okay to struggle, and that I want them to reach out and get help if they need it, or do whatever whatever helps them be happier and be their best selves, because that's the best way to, you know, find yourself and be truly happy. So I think that's what I would do.
I really like that. I would definitely remember you as all those things.
I hope so.
All right. Well, that was the last of the lightning round questions. Again, Abby, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course, always, anytime.
I really appreciate all of your thoughts and insight. And for everyone listening now, I hope you all stay safe and happy. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at DWord Podcast and keep an eye out for more episodes. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
For privacy purposes, the last names and school information of student guests have been redacted. All content by DWord Podcast is provided for general information and/or entertainment purposes only and should not be treated as a substitute for the medical advice of your own doctor or any other healthcare professional. Always seek the advice of your mental health professional or other qualified health providers with any questions you may have regarding your condition. Never disregard professional advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have read, watched, or listened to on this podcast or any of our other media channels.